Hell yeah, Corn Fed Podcast, baby. Let's fucking go.
Let's fucking go.
Let's fucking go.
Let's fucking go.
Whoop whoop.
Back to the Corn Fed Podcast, everybody. We know it's been a minute. Probably our longest break yet, but hey. Things are hard right now, so it's fine. Just deal with it. I'm your co-host, Cayenne, and I am here with...
Jazz.
And on this episode, I keep... Every other episode I've said this week, but then I've realized that we've never recorded on a weekly basis, so I should just start saying this episode.
Yeah.
This episode, we are covering a new metal classic that I think gets overlooked a decent amount, Wisconsin Death Trip by Static X.
Ooh, we're already starting with takes.
Yeah.
I like that.
This album, so right before we started, we were talking about kind of like, we were surprised about like kind of, or I was surprised that we were looking through the analytics of our past episodes and 10,000 Fists by Disturbed has done better than White Pony. And Jazz, you can say what you were saying really quick.
Oh, yeah. I was just saying that as much as... Okay, so we broke it down. And our number one is... Well, it goes Linkin Park, Korn, Toxicity, System of a Down, and then 10,000 Fists, and then White Pony with the number five. And we were like, yeah, like everybody always says that Deftones is like the go-to... This band rocks, like everybody will admit to loving Deftones, but I don't think that's what people are actually listening to in the privacy of their own home.
Yeah, exactly. And that completely tracks because this album, weirdly, all of my friends liked this album when I was growing up. We all thought it was kind of cool. You know, it's kind of edgy. It's called Wisconsin Death Trip, which is kind of an edgy title. You know, it's kind of goth in a way. But like it was never, you know, we listened to a lot of music while we were like sitting in the basement of one of our friend's house getting high and playing Skate 2. but like, for some reason, this album was never something that anybody threw on, but this was something that we all definitely listened to like at home. Like,
I would have honestly, I was giving this one last listen before our recording session, and I think I was chilling in the parking lot by my favorite Starbucks, or like my closest Starbucks, because there's like a bunch of Pokemon Go gyms and stuff there. So I was just like playing my little game, listening to my little Static X, and I was like, yeah, this rocks. Like I could just listen, like I could just vibe to this. I'm surprised that nobody threw that on while you guys were playing video games, because to me, I could probably play an entire video game just listening to this record.
I feel like I could too. And like, that's kind of what surprises me. I don't know why it wasn't really like something that we all listened to like together. It was just, it was something that everybody knew that each other liked and everything. But I think it was, it might be that it's just kind of like, it's like aggressive and like kind of like a weird kind of way. And it's like something that it's, oh, like I'm like enjoying this like by myself. Like I don't need to listen to this with anybody else. It's also really good drug music though.
Yeah. Yes. What I was thinking was it gives me a lot of the same like scratches that caveman itch of like just wanting to yell when I'm angry.
Yeah.
But the lyrics aren't like as good as like System of a Down in my opinion. No. So like it's harder to like I feel like you can get with a group of people and everybody will know all the words to a System of a Down song and be screaming together, and that's not like the same vibe, but it could be like, it really could.
I think you're onto something with that, where I think that it's something, I think that might be kind of the reason, is it's not really so much of a communal experience. It's definitely something more so of just like I'm pissed off. And like, I just want to yell, mm-hmm. even if what I'm yelling doesn't actually make sense. And like, when you're hanging out with your friends, you don't exactly just want to scream all the time.
yeah.
But what I just want to, like, it's so angry. I was trying to do like a little bit of research on it because I don't think there's anything like super interesting like politically to talk about with this album, like on its face, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I was doing a little bit of reading to try to kind of find some other stuff out about it. And there was something that I read where it was like, this album is for like the most jaded of like parking lot teens. And I was like, fuck yeah, it is. Like, yeah,
yeah,
totally tracks to me.
I agree. I actually, I didn't listen to Static X when I was growing up, but real cornfed heads know the story of me getting permanent facial damage from fighting over a Korn CD. And actually the guy that I was fighting with, Sean is his name, this is his favorite band. This was like his MySpace URL.
Shit, really?
Yeah, like I think his profile picture was of Wayne Static. It was not of him.
God damn it. That's so odd.
And he's like the perfect example because he is the person that I have like literally all my garbage teenager antic stories, like 90% of them are with Sean. Yeah. Like I remember one time we like he laid down on a skateboard and had me just pull him around. And, like he was just like laying on it and we were like causing true traffic jams in the neighborhood because I'm not like strong. So it's not like easy to maneuver someone laying on a skateboard either. Yeah. But like he didn't want to walk. So I got kicked out of a Taco Bell with him because he poured a fucking cup of Mountain Dew Baja Blast down my shirt. And then the Taco Bell owner was like done with us because we would go there every single day. And he like kicked us out for that. And I was like, no, I'm not even mad at him. Like I thought it was about like me being mad at him for doing that, but he was just like, we hate you. Like, please leave. So we like ran down to the Burger King like next door, and it's one of those Burger Kings that has the playground. So him and all my other buddies were taking, you know, the trays like yeah. that they put the food on, and they were using them to slide down the slides and shit. So then we got kicked out of the Burger King. It was like in one day. So literally every garbage, stupid, like we're just high and doing whatever we feel like it because there's nothing else to do. Story is with Sean.
Yeah, I feel like this man really kind of encapsulates that feeling really well. Because it's just like it's almost over the top in a sense. Like it's so like it's trying so hard to be heavy, which I kind of like.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I do. Yes.
But like it wants to be edgy so bad. And like it makes so much sense why I loved it as a kid, because I really, and also like it has this edge that like I think like none of the other albums that we've really covered, maybe with the exception of System of a Down, because they were kind of like weird kind of music too. But like it has this kind mm-hmm. of edge of just being like, oh, like I'm kind of listening to like intelligent music. You know what I mean? And not like lyrically, because lyrically this album is like the dumbest shit that's ever been made. But like...
I'm with Stupid. You don't think that's like...
Just a chorus of just he's a loser.
I thought that was great.
Rocks. It's so good. But it was definitely like something where it was like, okay, like this is kind of like harsh and like it's kind of like industrial, like it's kind of like Nine Inch Nails, and like Nine Inch Nails is respected, you know what I mean? So like, mm-hmm. oh, like this makes me seem smarter if I listen to this.
Or harder. Yeah. Like it's not as poserish.
Yeah, this like you would never see like a, well, you might have, but you wouldn't be as likely to see a Static X shirt in a Hot Topic as you would like any of the other bands talk about, you know what I
mean? Right.
So it was kind of like, oh, like this is like true like weirdo music, like I'm really edgy right now. I'm so much smarter than everybody else. But in reality all it is music to like sniff gas in the fucking Home Depot parking lot.
We're doing inhalants, guys.
This is inhalant music, as a side note. That's what this album is. But yeah, I wanted to, what I wanted to talk about originally was Static X. So obviously Wayne Static passed away. I don't know exactly what year it was, but it was, you know, a while ago.
17.
It was that recent? Holy shit. That feels...
I think so.
These past like 3 years have been fucking long as hell.
Endless. Because I also was under the impression that it was like when I was in high school.
I thought it was like 2012, 2013 for me, but...
Oh, no, just kidding. It is 2014, okay, my bad.
That's closer to what I thought, but still, shit. But yeah, so they've been touring without him, with this guy wearing a fucking mask that's designed to look like Wayne Static's head, right? Have you heard about this?
No.
Yeah, so they've been touring as Static X. I haven't read too much about it. I just have heard that this has been happening. But what it kind of think about was like, I think there's an interesting kind of like, because I think the lead singer is typically considered kind of the identity of the band. Mm-hmm. And what it's made me think about, though, is like, if somebody can replace you that easily, like, first of all, I haven't seen any performances. So, like, are they replacing him that easily? Or is it, like, completely missing something? You know what I mean? Also, just, like, the loss of identity and art in general. Like, once you put something out there, like, it's almost kind of like a like dance for me kind of thing of like, they just want to see it. They don't care like, you know, what's going on with the band. They don't care what's going on with the artist, no matter what it is. Like, it's just kind of like, hey, do it for me. And I don't care whether you're actually connected to it at all anymore. Is something that's kind of been on my mind since I found that out.
That is so... That's like really sad, like, cause it's really, I don't know, like morbid to have someone just cosplay as your dead lead singer instead of just
new lead singer. Cause that's the thing. I don't think it would bother me if Static X was still boring and they were just like, okay, like here's a new lead singer. You know what I mean? I think that Static X is kind of a little bit of an odd example because I do think that Wayne Static himself was like very much like the face of the band. So I don't think they would have been exactly the same without him. But I think it would have been a lot better if they weren't just making somebody wear a mask that looks like Wayne Static.
Yeah. I don't know. That it's rough. There's like so many layers to that.
Feels really exploitative and gross.
Did you ever see the Germs biopic?
No.
No. I only know about it because Shane West played the lead singer, and was it Darby Crouch? And I loved Shane West growing up. And like I've said before and will continue to say till my dying breath, A Walk to Remember is a new metal classic for soundtrack. It's got like, oh, so good. Cold by CrossFit, I think is in there. But anyway, he did the biopic and the actual band was like involved with it. And after they were done, they were like, we love you so much playing Darby Crouch. Like they brought him on as the lead singer. Right. And it's just weird. Yeah. Like, I don't know. There's just some like really... very strange energy to that.
Yeah, I just think like, especially, I guess like Static X isn't a good example, but like there are certain artists where like, I don't think you'll ever be able to replace the lead singer, just like in terms of like what they're writing about. Like if it's not actually personal to what the replacement is, it's not going to fucking work. Like there's a band, I think we might've mentioned them before. And I know that, you know, us and also friends of the podcast, Brandy and Jay, both notably really like them. Life of Agony. where their lead singer left for a while because she was like disillusioned with like the metal scene kind of, and they replaced mm-hmm. her with somebody else at the time, and it was like kind of like the person who they replaced her with was like kind of like a party person, and it's like you have this like party mm-hmm. person like fucking like crowd surfing and like hanging off of rafters singing like fucking River Runs Red, and it's like that doesn't track at all. I can't remember who it was at the moment, but like I guess they haven't had that as much with Static X, but it does still feel kind of weird just because I feel like it was very much uniquely Wayne's kind of influence on the band. And I think that uh-huh. it's strange the way that like the identity of the artist is kind of completely erased just so people can have a fun live show.
Yeah. I think it's like fucked up for the person underneath the mask, to be honest.
I would never like, do something like that. Right, yeah, like I'm not talented enough to be approached for something like that, but if I was, I wouldn't do it. Like that would make me so like viscerally uncomfortable. Like there's no way in hell I would do that. Like everybody involved could tell me that it's fine and I would still be like, it makes me feel kind of weird. You know what I mean?
Like there was like a big fuss about Sublime with Rome, you know, like continuing the band when Bradley Knoll like mm-hmm. did not want that, were he to die. And that is like its own thing because the artist was like, don't do this, you know, like don't do this without me. But like, I can respect a band like continue because the band is not just one person. I mean, I know there's always like that main persona, and of course there's bands like, you know, like Static X where there's that main persona. But I can respect a band deciding that, you know, we still have this shared vision, we still think we can create our art together, but we need, you know, a new person. Like I get that. I feel like it would be really fucked up to have to give up your whole thing that you've put your life, you know, your life's work into, when it can enter a new phase, and you know, hopefully you can bring your fans along with you into that new phase. But this is very like, we can't enter a new phase, and we don't even trust our audience to come with us to like,
no,
to try something
exactly. Yeah, you know, I think like I don't think that continuing the Static X band name would necessarily be a bad thing, or that I would have a problem with it. It's just the fact that they're like continuing trying to just like, they're not trying, exactly like you said, they're not moving on to anything new. They're just doing the same shit, but with somebody under a weird fucking mask that looks like Wayne Static. It's like if New Order had stayed as Joy Division and just hired somebody else to replace Ian Curtis. Like that would be kind of weird, and like impersonate Ian Curtis. Like that would be really weird and fucked up.
If the whole problem we have with people doing this is that people aren't replaceable, it's really gross to like literally.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah, but like that was something that I was thinking a lot about because I just think I keep going back to it. I just think there's this really strange kind of culture. Kind of music specifically about like, I don't care what's going on in your life, just like give me what I like, give me the thing that I want to consume, you know. I mean, I know, you know, Earl Sweatshirt has the line in Doris, or the sample in Doris, where it's like, I don't care what you're going through or what you got to do, I want bars, 16 of them, you know what I mean? And I think that's like a very kind of like, I think that's a common attitude towards art in general, but I think it happens the most with music just because I think there's a higher pressure of output in music than there is in other art forms.
I don't know if it's the pressure. I mean, I haven't thought of it that way, but I would say like the pressure to give your audience what they want. And what they liked you for in the first place. And I think it really sucks. Like, I'm going to use Fallout Boy, because I don't care. Because as anybody who knows me knows, I love Fallout Boy. But like they're like big thing, you know, that everybody our age, or my age especially, started hating them after like the second or third record because they changed so much. And obviously, like anybody who's kept up with Fall Out Boy has kept up with how they've changed over and over again. Every album is completely different. Really, the only record that I felt like was a step back, I still like it, but it felt like a step back for them, was American Beauty, American Psycho. But like with them is when I first really noticed that like people refuse to come along with you. With your like artistic journey, I'm like, they're not 20-year-old, you know, kids in Chicago anymore. They've got like wives and kids, and like they're different. They're different people. But like, they're not they're not the first band to do that. People did that to Blink-182. People did that to, you know, to every band when they changed their sound. But I think I rock with Fall Out Boy so hard because they don't care. They're not trying to like recapture that magic ever. They don't go backwards. They just find the next thing that they're looking for and like to try to do, and they do it, and they don't care if like, and they can get away with it because I think they've been very good at like hitting a market for every single release. Like, it might not be the same people, but they're good at connecting with someone. So they've done it well. But yeah, like that's the whole thing I'm saying. Like I feel like that's like a very literal with the Wayne Static mask. It's like such a literal translation of that idea of like, people don't want to go on that journey with you, and people and artists are too scared to make that journey. Like, they would rather just have a literal carbon copy of what they were doing. Yeah, exactly.
Just relive the same thing, like the whole fucking career. And like, and I think that there's this, I think the artists fall into that pitfall a lot when it's kind of been proven time and time again. I mean, even for, you know, pretty pop artists, they've been able to kind of change their stuff. I mean, like Sufjan Stevens is a great example. Like, his sound has changed throughout his career, and like he still has like the same diehard set of fans. You know what I mean? Nine Inch Nails has changed throughout their career. I mean, they've always maintained like the industrial metal kind of sound, but a lot of stuff has changed within that. Radiohead is another good example of a band that's changed a lot throughout their career that people still fuck heavy with.
I was going to say Radiohead, but because I don't listen to Radiohead, I was like, have they? I don't actually know. I think so, because people are always arguing about them.
I have an interesting relationship with Radiohead where I've never been like a huge Radiohead fan personally. I like them. I have nothing against them or anything. I think they've got some great songs. I really like that album Amnesiac. But I had an ex who was like obsessed with Radiohead. And so I listened to a bunch of Radiohead because at the time I was like, well, you know, like, you know, I want to listen to stuff that she likes and shit like that. And yeah, started as like a pretty generic like Britpop band, which honestly, that first album, people talk shit on it. It is generic Britpop, but it's really well done generic Britpop, so I think it's good. And then they went to like a slightly more just like straightforward, like alternative rock kind of record. And then with OK Computer, they started getting a little more like, they're very similar. I've compared them to them in the past. They're kind of like the 90s, 2000s version of the Beatles, where they took a lot of what the actual weird shit was at the time, and they made it into like very digestible music, which I think is like good.
Okay.
And like, I'm not, I don't mean that like in any way to like shit on Radiohead or anything. Like, I think that they're very talented at what they do. I like to call them on Twitter and stuff, but like in reality, they're very good songwriters. Like, they're very good at what they do, but like, yeah, at the end of the day, they just kind of take like the like super weird stuff that's happening and make it pretty digestible to the mainstream. Because, you know, like, I've seen people say before, like, it's not a very common take, because I think most people are smarter than this, but I've seen a lot of people say like Kid A was the first record that brought like electronica into rock music. And it's like, okay, but like Pretty Hate Machine came out in 1989. And like that was a previous album, you know what I mean? So like that's not really a good. But yeah, so yeah, I think we've seen in the past there's been lots of bands that have been able to kind of transition out. And I mean, even if they just changed their name and something similar, I mean, like if they just pulled the New Order route, like after Ian Curtis died and they just like changed their name, but we're like, okay, like, yeah, like we're all the old members of Static X. We just don't have Wayne Static anymore. I think people probably would have still fucked with them because listening to them, the instrumentation is really fucking good, and they could have done something really interesting without him. In my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree. This album is
There's very lots fun. I mean, there's really good riffs. The drums are really fun. It's a great album to kind of like bounce around in your car too.
Yes. I actually, when I was texting you that I was eating jalapeno poppers, I was in my car because I didn't want to listen. I wanted to get the whole thing done in my car because I feel like, and I feel like new metal in general,
it just feels really there's good. Like, there's car. Definitely something very specific about listening to new metal in your car that rocks.
Yeah. like, even though I was just parked, I was like, I can't do this in my home. It's not going to hit the same coming out of the MacBook speakers. It just is not.
You know what? That's entirely true because, for the most part, I have been listening to this album in my car. I was also doing a pre-episode listen to it, and it was on my MacBook speakers, and it didn't hit the same. So you're 100% right. Like,
what I'm thinking about to pivot, I guess, is have you been going on Tony's Brutal Request live stream?
I haven't watched any of the streams. I keep meaning to and then kind of forgetting to.
I haven't been able to watch many of them because I'm always like in a meeting or at work or whatever. But whenever I'm at work at my stupid job, like my day job, I can get in there because I'm just washing dishes and it's perfect because the music is heavy. Yeah. So you're like, yeah, let's go wash these goddamn dishes. But it's been so funny to me to engage with not women in new metal. I'm like,
this podcast is so interesting. And I think that I love all of our beautiful listeners because I really do think that like there's something about new metal where I feel like we're covering a part of it that's never been covered really, like in like any sphere that I've ever seen. And I think it's like typically very well, like first of all, we have to talk about like just how popular it was in general, that like it wasn't just for like suburban rich white dudes, but it's been like stereotyped as that very, very heavily. And I think it's like really cool to be able to kind of like cover the other side of that. And it's been really enjoyable to me.
Yeah. Or just different sides of it. Like, even if it's not exactly the opposite side of it, I do just feel like we're in a corner where I think maybe because we're so not embarrassed by like our music that there's just a different engagement with it. But it was really weird for me like to be on that live stream and see and no hate or anything to like the people who are commenting, because I'm sure they're good people. They're Tony's friends, so I'm sure they're good people. But it was just like, I remember someone else, another friend of the pod, a lady, I will not name her because I don't know if she would be comfortable with that, but she like slid into my DMs like, what the fuck is going on over there? because every, like, I don't know, people were like, so like, oh, this is so nerdy. Like, why is this on here? And I'm like, it's all nerdy. It's new metal. Please stop trying to make some type of new metal elite.
The nail on the head with like the whole types. Like not being embarrassed by it. And Tony was actually he was doing a good job talking about it in the group chat, where he was talking about like, you know, like it's kind of annoying that like Rage has gotten this far and like System of a Down has gotten this far and stuff. And it's like, yeah, like they're obviously very good. I think both of us have acknowledged that we love those bands and everything. It's like kind of annoying that like they're given this like kind of like credit. And like it also falls into the thing of like, you know, like the people who say, like, oh, like, they're not actually nu metal, and it's just because they, like, view nu metal specifically as being, like, an embarrassing, like, funny genre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, like, to me, that was what was so interesting and funny to me was, like, all these artists that people that I know really connect with these artists, really, like, love these artists, and it's nu metal to them. Like, they don't have all these hang-ups about Rage Against the Machine being intelligent nu metal. It's just the music that rocks.
And they like it. It's good riff, and like some, it's riff. Fun to scream along to. Like, it's sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like, it's interesting to me that a certain segment of the nu metal fandom would assume that the reason that people like Rage and people like System is because they're smart or whatever. And I'm like, well, there are people who like those because they're just actually speaking to their experience. Like, it's not about seeming smart. It's about yelling fuck cops, like, at the top of your lungs when you're like 13 years old and don't have any, you know, other way or other, I guess, anything else legitimizing that feeling that you have that, like, everything sucks.
And I think, and like, is unfair. And, you know, another band that we've covered in the past too, like, Kitty is kind of the same way, where it's just like, you know, like, it's like you finally get to scream, like, fuck, like, all these piece of shit men who have treated me like this.
Exactly. And, oh, Kitty was robbed, absolutely.
Locked over. That shit. Oh, God, I was so mad about that.
They were put up against a lot of songs that they definitely should have beat, everybody, in my opinion. But
I think everybody who listens to this podcast knows that Kitty is probably my third favorite nu metal band after Slipknot and Korn. So, like, I obviously had strong feelings about that. But, but yeah, and then, but getting a little bit back to Static X and everything, like, it's interesting because I think if Static X didn't kind of have the gimmick that they had of, like, Wayne Static's, like, hair and kind of that kind of shit, I feel like fallen into the, I feel like they would have fallen into, like, the quote-unquote, like, they're not nu metal kind of shit, because, you know, they're a little more abstract. Mm-hmm. They obviously have influences from bands like Joy Division, like Nine Inch Nails, you know, bands that are typically more respected by the mainstream. And I think that if they didn't have kind of the whole, like, extreme early 2000s fashion, that they probably would have had a little bit of that atmosphere to them. You know what I mean?
I simply love the relationship between a nu metal lead singer.
Oh my God. And his, like, chin. What is it with them?
Like, what? Why did they all come together to be like, you know, where my self-expression is going to take place? Right on the really face, funny. Right there on the chin.
This is like right on the face. Chins are like the last thing I notice on a person's face. Unless
maybe there's a braid hanging off,
like,
of it.
Maybe that's why they all got into, because they're like, oh, like, what's the most, like, innocuous place that I could really make my mark? You know what I mean?
What's honestly the nu metal of the body?
Oh my God. Wait, hold on one second.
But anyway, what were we saying?
Well, we were talking about chins.
Oh yeah.
Really conversation really important that we were stuff. Having right there. But
but oh yeah, what Static X would have been had it not been.
Yeah, if it had, like, I feel like if Static X had come out and like if they, I guess, like, obviously, you know, like, with the influence and stuff, they wouldn't have come out 5 years earlier, but if they had, or even if they'd come out 5 years later, I feel like they probably would have fallen into, like, a much more, like, respected kind of image, because of, I think, industrial is kind of the same as, like, I think a lot of metal in general is kind of, like, viewed as goofy by some of the mainstream, but I think very specifically, like, doom and industrial metal are not. Like, they're, like, considered, like, highly respected genres. You know what I mean? And I think that Static X, if
Right.
it hadn't been for the exact time that they came out, they would have been much more respected than they are. Yeah, definitely not looked
Remember.
over as much.
Yeah. I did I gotta say I did enjoy the whole thing. Like I wasn't sure where I was gonna fall on this one because I have a general idea, you know. Like with Limp Bizkit, I was like I'm probably not gonna enjoy that much. And I had fun. I had fun on the good songs. But this one, I was surprised. I actually was like, damn, now I wish I had listened to Sean's
Yeah, it's
MySpace
a
song more
really
often.
fun album just to go through. I mean, like we were talking about, like the riffs are really good. It's fun. It's kind of like bouncy in a way. Especially like I'm just thinking about like the chorus of like Stem, I think has this very kind of like fun, just like kind of like groovy feel to it. Yeah.
I really like Trance also
Love Dump is great
and
too.
Love Dump. Yeah, I really enjoyed those. And the chorus for Blood for Days. I mean, I like I said, I really just all around enjoyed this one, and I was
Yeah,
genuinely surprised by that.
you know, I hadn't listened to this album all the way through in a while. It's probably been about like 4 or 5 years since I've actually listened to it all the way through. I mean, I listened to occasional songs, like I would listen to Wisconsin Death Trip or Oxygalation or Stem or something, you know, like every once in a while. But I hadn't listened to it all the way through. And I was surprised that there's no real points in the album where I was like, okay, like let's move on. Which also I think they succeeded in the fact that it's not too long. Like it's only, I think, like 43 minutes or something.
It's yeah, I was like worried that I wasn't gonna get through the whole thing before the recording because I hadn't before. I hadn't listened to the whole thing. I was like, oh no, like what if I
Yeah.
don't get through everything? I'll feel guilty. But I did get
Yeah,
through
like it's
everything
really
and I was
not
like,
too
oh, okay,
long.
sick.
It's a pretty easy listen. Not like easy listening, but like, you know, just it's fun the whole way through and it's not too long. And Wayne Static's vocals are really, really interesting and pretty unique too, which I think adds a lot to it.
They're very good. Yeah, like I think I said this earlier, but I feel like they're very similar to System of a Down in
Yeah.
like the vibe that they hit, like the energy that you get when you listen to
I
them.
would
Like
agree
it
with
was very
that. I think they
similar
are
to
very,
me.
very similar at the end of the day. Obviously not in terms of content or anything like that, but just yeah, they do hit the same,
No,
yeah, they do hit
no.
the same nerve.
Which is cool because that's like that particular like I said earlier, like caveman-y feeling of just like wanting to scream and headbang and groove all at the same time. Like that is why you like
Yeah.
nu metal. I mean, to
No, I
me,
feel this way.
it's like being
Yeah,
angry but
it's
having
very
fun.
like you don't have to like try to enjoy it at any point. Like it makes sense. Like it's just something that you turn on and it's just like, okay, like I'm having fun listening to this.
Yes, yeah, I agree. Like that is what I was worried about, that I was gonna
Yeah.
have to like try to like it, but it
Yeah,
this was good.
I
So I
had a
was like,
really
oh,
good time
sick.
listening to this the whole way through. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is the namesake of the album, which the namesake of the album
The what?
was Trip, which is a
Oh,
they
yeah.
got it from the name of the book. The book was also adapted into a movie. And basically it tells the tale of a town called Black River Falls, which is a real town. A friend of the pod listen is from pretty close to there actually, and it
Oh, nice.
basically it tells the tale of the town through a bunch of obituaries, I think is really interesting. Yeah, it's really
Yeah,
cool.
that's
Like
cool.
one that sticks out to me in particular is there's one where it talks about these two kids who actually killed the owner of a farm and then stayed there for like 2 weeks before the police showed up, and then both of the kids got killed running from the police. Is like a one that sticks out to me. But what I think is very fascinating about it is, at least reading what I did about it, is that they just saw the title and they have no idea what the content of the book actually is. They just saw the title and thought it was interesting and decided to use it. And it kind of made me think about like just the impact that like certain like word strings can really have on you. Like, you know, there's just like certain like phrases where you see them and they instantly connect. And I think that like, I also think that's a lot of how Wayne Static wrote his lyrics is what it seems like to me, because there's no cohesive story in any of these songs at all. Like, you know, it's a lot of very kind of like impressionist, like just like, here's something and I hope that it, you know, hits you the right way.
And I think he was very successful at that. Because if I did not know, like if I had just picked up the book with Wisconsin Death Trip, that is exactly the vibe that I would have gotten.
That's exactly how I feel too.
Does that make sense?
Completely, like, kind of captured the sound of the phrase that they based it off of. Because
right, exactly.
For any listeners of the podcast who don't know, I am actually a Wisconsin. I live in Wisconsin, and this album does sound Midwestern. I guess Wisconsin feels pretty similar to Ohio. Not gonna lie. But it feels very like Midwestern and kind of like bleak, and it captures the feeling that I exactly like you said, like if I picked up that book, this is what I would imagine it would sound like, which I think is pretty cool that they were successful at that. I was just gonna say I love storytelling and music and stuff like that, but on the other hand, I also just love when something just like manages to kind of just like capture a feeling without like really having any sort of narrative or anything to it. And I think this album did a really, really good job of that, especially sonically, because it's so dense and harsh, but it doesn't feel claustrophobic at all to me.
No, me neither. And I would have, I'm very sensitive to that. So I would have picked up on, like, I wouldn't have liked it.
I think that's kind of one of the things that separates it from a lot of the other like industrial acts that I can think of, like Orgy, or, you know, obviously always going back to Nine Inch Nails. Like, those are very like claustrophobic, kind of like they almost like headache records, you know what I mean? And this never felt that way at all. It always feels kind of very open in a strange way.
Yeah. What I was gonna say. I don't remember what I was going to say. I keep seeing a visual of, I think it's from John Wick 2, when he's like going through, you know, like underneath the tunnels or whatever the fuck he's doing. And there's industrial metal band thing. I don't know why. Well, probably just because we're talking about it. But I just keep seeing that over and over in my head. What is your favorite track?
That's hard. I think Trances the Motion is probably my favorite, and then Stem, and then it's probably a two-way tie between Oxygalation and Wisconsin Death Trip. What about you?
Okay. This is something that I did think, like, when I was listening to it, is that it's good at the same level throughout. So it's very consistent. Which means I didn't have like really a standout track. Like, I enjoyed all of it, but there wasn't like this song is like rips extra hard or anything. But I did really like Trance. And that's not to say that any of the songs were bad or were not good. Just that there was no moment where
definitely.
I was like,
it's an enjoyable record listen, but there's not that's like, okay, like I need to revisit this song in particular.
Right. But yeah, I also really like Trance. And I call it trance because I couldn't see the full title from my phone when I was listening to it, but it also feels like the word, which again goes back to him capturing the emotion of a phrase, I think. Like, because when I saw the title, I was like, oh, that's a perfect title for how this song is making me feel right now.
Love Dump is great. I really like Love Dump too. I think you hit the nail on the head there, just saying like it's very like consistent. There's no moment in this album where I'm really like, oh, like this is fucking it. Like this is the moment I've been waiting for. But also there's no real moment where I'm like, damn, like I should skip this. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
But it's pretty solid all the way through for sure. I really enjoyed it. This was one of the ones that I hadn't listened to for a long time that I'm glad we covered because, yeah, it was good to revisit for sure. But.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was a good first run for me. I enjoyed it. I have a new go-to for when I need to hit that spot of angry driving, which is good. I'm always looking for tracks that, like, I literally have a whole playlist that is, I have a couple. I have one that's like, I feel cool, you know, like I'm driving and I feel,
oh yeah,
I feel like a million bucks. I feel like
he gives on repeat when I feel that way.
Right. And I'm just driving fast and I feel like I'm at the strip club with Cardi B, just like raining. Like that's one. And then I have another one that's just like every angry fast song I can think of. Like, half of everything we've covered here, Brackish is on it for sure. What's on it? Hail to the King by Avenged Sevenfold is on it. Actually, I think there's I know, right? Hail to the King came on my time capsule playlist on Spotify and I was like, holy shit, I haven't listened to this song in years.
I'm gonna have to give that a spin when we get off this because like holy shit.
Yeah. a lot of their songs, like, or Backcountry too, is like I like to listen to when I'm speeding up on the freeway. But speeding up to a safe and reasonable mileage.
No, yeah, this does scratch that itch completely, I think too, because yeah, this was something that I would throw on when I was just like, okay, like this is, especially when I was driving home from work, this was a good album to listen to, or driving to work, really either side of the commute. Yeah, you just kind of want to be
anytime that work is involved. Yeah, like
work sucks.
Rightly so. It really does. I think that's like the main culprit for us.
Yeah, that's genuinely, that is exactly it, actually. But that's kind of all I have for this one. This is kind of a shorter episode, I suppose.
I think we're actually, we're right around our usual time.
Yeah.
I mean, shorter
okay,
end.
Yeah, that's pretty solid.
We're at an hour.
So, yeah, I guess, do you have any closing thoughts on this? I guess the one thing we didn't cover is our backgrounds on this, because you haven't listened to it before, right?
No. I mean, really, kind of all my stories about Sean is my background.
I did at the beginning. We didn't really ever listen to this together, but this was something that everybody who I grew up with enjoyed and we would talk about and stuff like that. It was a really fun album to do drugs alone at home to, though. Yeah, exactly.
Doing Whippets with Wayne Static.
That was a really exciting time. Back when I was a kid. But that's about all I got for it.
Yeah, me too. Going forward,
we've got a couple things in the stew. Did we decide our first bonus episode is going to be that the body record? Or are we just... Oh, go ahead.
I think we I think we should do the body.
So our first bonus episode will be coming soon, yes. And we'll be doing the bodies. I have fought against it, but I can't any longer. If you want to hear another one of probably one of will be our more somber episodes. And that'll be on our Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/cornfedpod. And it'll be our first one. So we're pretty looking forward to that. And then our next main episode is our 10th episode. And to celebrate that, we will be doing an absolute new metal classic, Slipknot's self-titled. I'm
very excited about this. Are any of Slipknot's self-titled tracks left on
I think Wait and Bleed is still on
BRL.
So I hope that it's still going. Yeah, yeah, and also if you're listening to this podcast and you're not already a friend of ours or a friend of the podcast Tony's, he's running a thing called Brew Request Live where he's doing a new metal bracket. It's getting pretty close to the end, but you still have a couple chances to vote for what you think should be in there. Definitely check that out if you're interested. I mean, if you're
We'll retweet the polls on the main.
Yeah, I mean, if you're
page,
listening
so
to
it'll be easy for you guys
an
to
hour
find.
Of new metal podcast every, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, you'll probably vote on this. So, but yeah, so that's all we've got this time, I think. Thank you, everybody, for listening again. Mm-hmm. I'm Cayenne, and you can follow me at Mirror Reaper, all one word, on twitter.com if you want to see some truly terrible posts.
Okay, her posts are world class, like truly the best to ever do it. if you want to see, no, truly terrible posts are at twitter.com/heliotropic.
Jez is also wrong.
That's
because
me.
Jez's posts are definitely mine.
That's just not true. Like, it's just objectively not true. But anyway, we're both delightful. Be obsessed with us as if you're not already. Thank you.
Yeah, for
see
real.
See you soon. Hopefully sooner than a month.